الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنه لا يحب المستكبرين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تواضع لله رفعه الله صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders in Islam, we had been discussing for a few weeks the detrimental disease of pride and arrogance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. That disease that led to the downfall of shaitan when he was commanded with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of showing obedience, he began to make it subject to his intelligence and understanding. He began to present proofs before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him rejecting the divine command. You should always remember when the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam become manifest to us and clear to us, then we should not apply our intelligence, our understanding, our discretion, our reasoning and make the command subject to our understanding. This is the divine command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are believers and we are those that submit ourselves to the divine order, the divine command. Immediately we accept, whether we can fathom it and understand it or not. This is secondly, because we do not have such a mind and such a intelligence that can fathom the wisdom of all the divine commands. That is why iman demands that we accept the orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sami'na wa atana. We had also mentioned last week how sometimes the praises of people makes a person feel that he is deserving of those praises, and he forgets his reality, he forgets his shortcomings, his faults, and his deficiencies are all forgotten, but just a sentence and a phrase of praise from somebody. This also is folly at not understanding things in proper perspective. Actually, we all know that al-ibratu bil-khawatim, how we leave this dunya, that is the basis upon our acceptance in the court of Allah. That is why I say, Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullahi used to always say this poem, this shair, Hum aise rahe ya waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ki wahan kaise rahe. Hum aise rahe ya ki waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ki kaise rahe. Our position in this world, whether we in adversity, whether we in prosperity, this is secondary, this is temporary, this is transitory, this is the passing phase. Wahan dekhna hai ki kaise rahe. The akhirat, how we will fare, that is the real basis of our success. This is the real basis of our success. We had mentioned several stories the Mashaykh had mentioned last week, how to think about this and to ponder that before the examination results are out, how can we ever be celebrating? So we had also mentioned about some statements of the Mashaykh and pious saints and elders that we should regard ourselves even lower than disbelievers and animals. We should understand this in the proper perspective. Does not mean that a mu'min is not better than a kafir. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, فَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. Can a mu'min, can a person that's a transgressor be like a mu'min, like a believer? They are not equal. Believer is much better than a person that's a transgressor. And obviously a believer is much better than a disbeliever and a non-believer. So what does it mean here? It means here that we should not attribute whatever we have to ourselves and look down on that person as a person. The action that he is carrying out of kufr, most detestable. Inna Allah la yuhibbul kafirin. Allah Ta'ala does not like those people that carry out kufr and disbelief. The action that he is carrying out, we look down upon. But as a person, we look down upon him. The ni'mat that Allah Pak has given us, whether it's our knowledge, whether it's our piety, whether it's our iman, we do not attribute it to ourselves, we attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. That whatever good I am doing, whatever Allah Ta'ala has given me, whatever favor has been blessed, it's from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not of my own doing. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever ni'mat you have, it's from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as we keep acknowledging this all the time, then pride will never come into us. Why? Because we know whatever is happening, not from my side, the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I could read the salat from the side of Allah. I could read the Quran from the side of Allah. I could go out in the path of Allah. It was from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not from my own doing. And when person realizes this, he will not look down upon the next person that he is deprived of this. Why? Because this, what I am doing, is not from my side, from the side of Allah. Yes, we should look down upon the kufr, but not upon the kafir, that person. That is why in Islam, that person is a kafir today. Tomorrow he reads the kalima, he becomes our Muslim brother. We embrace him and make him part of us. Why? Because he's accepted the kalima. We don't hate him as a person. As I mentioned, the example they give is of a prince whose face is soiled with some ink, etc. Then what happens? We look down upon that stain upon him. Even more easier examples of our children, when they are soiled, when they are messed up, what do? We don't hate the child, but we have a detestment for the najasat and filthiness on the child. The moment the child is washed, etc., and cleansed, brought to us, we take the child and embrace the child. When we love the child, and we had loved the child even at that moment, but he was stained with some stains. He had some filth on him. He had some impurity upon him, which we detested. But the child himself, we love him. So this should be our attitude when we say, look down upon the kafir, think ourselves to be worse than kuffar, meaning this, we do not know what our end will be. We do not know whether we'll pass away upon kufr, and that person, we do not know what his end is. We had mentioned last week many such persons who on the face, they looked as non-Muslims, but they passed away with iman, they passed away with the kalima, and they left this dunya with the kalima on their lips. This was the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. When Qasim Nanotvi rahmatullahi alayhi saw a Hindu person in his dream, and he saw him walking in paradise and walking in Jannat, and he asked him, Lala ji, how are you here? How you landed up here? He says, before I left the dunya, I read the kalima. Throughout his life, he lived as a non-Muslim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him guidance and tawfiq to leave this world with iman. So that is why we should be concerned about our last and our ending, and be fearful and ask and beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us upon iman. One place, one great pious person writes that there is not so much regret upon that person who lived as a kafir and died as a kafir. But that person that lived as a mu'min, he was called Muhammad and Ibrahim and Farooq and Hassan, etc. And he passes away upon kufr. This is a great regret. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Person who outwardly lived his life as a mu'min and he passes away upon kufr. So we should be always beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, take us with iman. Take us with the kalima la ilaha illallah. And for this, even the pious saints are fearful. Nobody can guarantee that I will leave this dunya with iman. The Shaykh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi, in his book that I had mentioned, he mentions an incident, a very stirring or a moving incident about a very pious saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show to us the moral of the story is this, that all the ni'mas that we have, we should attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi mentions, as Shaykh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi mentions, that this story is uppermost in my mind. It's in my mind at all times, and involuntarily it comes onto my tongue and comes onto my pen. And I wish that every person that wishes to walk towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is a salik, and wishes to work towards self-reformation, should have this kissa also in his mind at all times. Very lengthy incident, we'll try and make it brief. The incident about Abu Abdullah al-Andalusi, rahmatullah alayh, a very, very pious saint and a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had over 12,000 murids, and among the people that were with him was Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayh, Allama Shibli, rahmatullah alayh. It's mentioned that on once he embarked on a journey and he had with him all these murids and all these pious people, and he was going. While they were going and they were on this journey, the time of Salat had come, and the time of Salat was going out, and it was feared that they will miss the Salat. They went to look and search for some water, and they could not find any water. They passed one locality that was the locality of the Christians. And obviously we know in the locality of the Christians you will find churches and all the other places of worship of these Christians. So he said, we passed that locality and we found no water. We went out of the locality and we found some girls there upon one well, taking out water. So we went to that spot to get the water, to make our wuzu, to read our salat. He's mentioned that our Sheikh Abu Abdullah al-Andalusi, rahmatullah alayhi, remained there at that spot and remained there for 3 days, speechless, not eating, not drinking, not speaking to anyone. And all the muridins are surrounding him there. Such a great and pious person is held there, and he's not moving, he's not eating, he's not drinking, he's not even speaking with anyone. Allama Shibli rahmatullah says that I plucked up some courage after 3 days and I spoke to him and said, oh respected Sheikh, all your murids that are here, all your disciples that are here are completely worried and perplexed because of your situation. What has happened to you? Says the murid. After a while, Sheikh turned and told them that I cannot conceal my condition before you. I cannot conceal my condition before you. He says, 3 days ago when my gaze fell on those women and those girls that were taking out the water, then I was overwhelmed by their beauty. I was overwhelmed by the beauty, and I was overwhelmed by the beauty. And now it is such that I am infatuated to such a degree that I cannot move from here. I cannot leave this place. Says that Allama Shibli rahmatullah tells him that, oh, Sheikh, you are the Sheikh of the people of Iraq. You are the leader, spiritual mentor of the people of Iraq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you so much knowledge and so much excellence, and you are world renowned. You are renowned as far as your piety is concerned, and abstinence from the dunya is concerned. Do not disgrace us. Do not disgrace us. We have over 12,000 disciples here with you. He says, the Shaykh replies thereafter and tells him that the matter is not in my control anymore. The divine decree has been made. The matter is not in my control any longer. And he says, the signs of sainthood have been taken away from me. The garments of sainthood are taken away from me, and the signs of hidayat are taken away from me, and this is the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioned, the Shaykh says, the Allama Shibli rahmatullahi says, that when we heard this from the Shaykh, we began to cry, and the Shaykh also began to cry and began to weep. That what has happened to such a great spiritual mentor, what has happened to him that he has changed? And here he says he's infatuated by this one girl, person that have 12,000 murideens. And I forgot to mention at the outset that there were thousands of madaris, thousands of khanqas that were functioning under him, under his guidance. He says that we had to leave. We were compelled in the circumstances to leave and to go away. He says when we went back to Iraq and we told the people there about the situation of the Sheikh, that some people became so overwhelmed by this condition that they passed away on the spot. They lost their lives out of shock, utter shock and amazement that this is what has happened to our spiritual mentor, and they passed away. The balance of them continued making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Oh Allah, return our Shaykh to that grand position that he had enjoyed before this incident had happened. Says thereafter, after about a year, we decided to go and find out about what is the condition of our spiritual mentor. Says when we got there, we asked the Christians that were there, that where is our Shaykh? They said, your Shaykh is there, he is grazing the pigs. He is grazing the pigs. He says, when we heard this, we began to tear, and we were shocked and astonished that this is the condition of our Shaykh. We went further, we found him. We asked him, how did this happen? How did it result in him going to that position? He said, this woman or this girl that upon whom his glance had fallen was the daughter of the leader of the people around here. And when he proposed, then the person said, on condition that you will graze the pigs for me and I will give my daughter in marriage to you. And the Shaykh accepted this, and this is his condition. He says, when we went further, we saw him standing there on an asa, that same asa that he used to stand and give the khutbah, and used to stand on the minbar and mention the Quran and Hadith, standing on the same asa, and he had the garb of the Christians, he had the topi of the Christians, and he had that garb over his waist, that string, piece of string that the Christians wear, standing there. When we saw him in this condition, he says, only Allah knows what was our condition, and we addressed him with salam. He looked towards us, and slowly he replied to our salam. And we told him, oh, our Shaykh, why, how has this become your position? You are a person that had great knowledge. You are the person that had the knowledge of the Quran and tafsir, and this is your condition. He says, the Shaykh told him that this is the decree of my Allah. This is the decree of my Allah. He keeps me in whatever position he wishes. After giving me proximity and closeness, he has cast me and expelled me from his door. And who can avert the divine decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then he tells him, Shibli, you should be very, very careful. You should be very, very careful and fearful from that independent Allah. Be careful and fearful from the wrath and anger of that Allah that's completely independent, and never become proud and arrogant because of your position, because of your fazl, and because of your ilm. Never become proud. Thereafter, he says, he turns his head towards the sky and says, oh Allah, I had not expected that you will disgrace me in this manner. Oh Allah, I had not expected that you will bring me so close. Thereafter, you will cast me out. And thereafter, he begins to cry. Lama Shibli rahmatullahi says, we also began to cry, and we turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, help us in this crisis. It's only you that can help us. We put our trust upon you, and we only turn towards you to avert and take away this calamity and difficulty. Says the Shaykh started crying, we began to cry, and even the animals that were there, they began to cry. And thereafter he says, I addressed my Shaykh and told him that you were a hafiz of the Quran. You used to recite the Quran in 7 different ways, in 7 different qirats. You knew 30,000 ahadith with not only the matan, but with the chain of narrators, and also with the matan and the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 30,000 ahadith you remember. Do you remember anything of this? Shaykh replies, yes, I remember only 2 verses of the Quran. وَمَن يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِن مُكْرِمٍ. Second verse, وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. The first verse means that a person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliates and disgraces, there is no person that can give him honor and respect. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah ta'ala does whatever he wants. This is the only verse I remember. And that person that exchanges his iman with kufr, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. He has gone away from the straight path. This is the only thing I remember as far as the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned. I only remember one hadith, مَنْ بَدَّلَ دِينُهُ فَاقْتُلُوهُ. Or كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the person that leaves his deen and renegates from his deen, then kill him. He says, we became compelled under the circumstances and we left our sheikh and we went away. We had hardly traveled for 3 days when we saw the sheikh coming out of a river before us and making ghusl, and thereafter reading the kalima shahada. He says, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew the level of our happiness and our pleasure when we saw our sheikh in this condition. He says, the pertinent part here, or the part to remember here for us at all times, is this, what he says now. He says, I asked the sheikh, was there this great trial that had befallen you, was there some apparent reason for this great trial to befall you? He says, yes, there was a reason. He says, when I got into that locality and I saw the Christians worshipping idols, etc., saw people worshipping the fire, etc., then this thought went through my mind that you are a mu'min, you are a muwahid, you are a person that upholds the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at these foolish people, these people that have no understanding. Look at them. They are worshipping these lifeless objects. They are worshipping these lifeless objects. And takabbur and pride came into my heart, and arrogance and pride came into my heart, that we are so much more better than these people. The reality is, we are better than these people. But we attribute that not to ourselves, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you look at such people, then you should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us iman and make dua for the hidayat of those people, not look down upon those people. So he says, when this happened, then he says, I heard a voice from the unseen coming to me, telling me that your iman and your tawheed is not because of your personal excellence, not because of your perfection, your personal kamal, not because you have excellence within yourself. That's why you are a mu'min and you're a muwahid. Ye sab hamari tawfiq se hai. This is because of our guidance. We have guided you, and you have no control over the matter. Tumhare andar mein koi ikhtiyar nahi hai. You have no control over the matter of keeping yourself upon in this condition, keeping yourself coming to the part of going out in the part of Allah, coming to the house of Allah, taking the name of Allah, being on guidance. You have no control whatsoever upon this. And agar aap tum chahe, tum aapko abhi batayenge. And if you wish, we will show it to you now. He says, at that point in time, I found like a bird leaving my heart and going away, and that was my iman. That was my iman. I found at that point in time, when this voice of the unseen had come to me and addressed me, then like a bird had flown out of my heart, and that was my iman that had left me. Here, as Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi writes, that this disease is such, Allah Pak save us, that even mashayikh, even great mashayikh and awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not saved from this, or not saved, or cannot guarantee this, that they will not become a victim of this disease. So you should do some soul searching all the time. And all the time, our mashayikh mentioned so beautifully, attribute every ni'mat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. And simple methods they mentioned to us, as I mentioned, one has a sheikh mentioned to go to a person that's a kamil sheikh and tell him, free me of this pride. Or go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 40 days, follow the principle and usul, this will also assist you. Or similarly, is to do this, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every moment and every point and every ni'mat that Allah ta'ala gives us, at least to say Alhamdulillah. Reflect upon the ni'mats and say Alhamdulillah, oh Allah, this is only from your doing. It's only your ni'mat, it's not from my side. And you have the power of giving me this ni'mat. You have the power of taking it away and snatching it away at the same time. So never look down upon the next person. Always reflect upon ourselves and be conscious about the gifts and the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. As I mentioned, some mashayikh mentioned so easily that during the day also, every ni'mat, you come to the house of Allah, and you reach here safely, say Alhamdulillah. You read your salat, say Alhamdulillah. Every ni'mat of yours, whether it is a mundane activity, whether it's a dini activity, say Alhamdulillah for every ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. And this tashakkur will take away the takabbur. Because takabbur is a person that attributes the ni'mat to himself, and he feels it's my doing. Like Qarun had mentioned, إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيتُ وَلَا عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. But similarly, we find Sulaiman alayhi salam was given enormous wealth. But he said, هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. Attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qarun attributed it to himself. And we know what happened to him. So every ni'mat we attribute to Allah,
think about it, reflect upon it, and never look down upon that person who does not have that ni'mat. Think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the power to snatch this from me and give it to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make him a better person tomorrow than myself and make me worse than that person. So here is the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh writes this incident, and in this incident, in remembering this incident, there's enough food for thought for each one of us. Allah ta'ala make it such that you reflect all the time upon the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is thankful and grateful to Allah, he gets the closeness of Allah. And our Shaykh mentions it so easy, so nicely, that the person that makes takabbur, he goes away far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He becomes distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like that person. And the person that expresses his gratitude, he becomes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you cannot find a person at one and the same time becoming close to Allah and going further away from Allah. So he abstains from takabbur and he expresses tashakkur and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will be getting the closeness and proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين